the following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
Welcome back to Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me if you want, just don't call me a turkey. And welcome to Tuesday night, and there's absolutely nobody in the chat room besides us. This feels like tap out. Anyway, Subject to Discussion is live on LVRocks.com, Tuesdays from 7 until 9 o'clock Pacific time. And the website is subject2discussion.com. Email is subject2discussion@LVRocks.com. And, of course, the program is archived over on SpankWagon.net. SpankWagon's on every Friday from 7 until 9, right? 9 o'clock Pacific time here on LVRocks.com. And tonight, the new version of the program, in a little while, we'll be joined by Justin Gardner from the Dunkelfant Centrist blog. And then in the second hour, we'll be joined by Eric Olson with our very first pop culture discussion. And then Judy from the science fiction sciencefictionbuzz.com had to bail out. Her mother was just diagnosed with cancer, so she had to bow out this week. And taking her place will be Trapper John, M.D. No, Trapper Markells from the BattlestarBlog.com with a list of Christmas gifts for your Battlestar Galactica fan and your family. So we're going to do a little public service for, I guess, be Santa, Battlestar Santa here. And then those listening on the podcast, welcome. Glad to see the numbers jumped up a little bit. And thank you very much for listening. And, that was you. Oh, I thought it was me I was turning up. Sorry. What the hell? I couldn't hear my word. I can't hear any words in my head. So, yeah. I'm always hearing voices in my head, you know. And where else? And I want to talk about the... Oh, there they are. What happened to those silences? A little too much turkey, I think, huh?
Attention.
There you go. There you go. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And I'm talking about the porkers. I came up with this line up by myself. The porkers in Congress and the big turkey in the White House. There you go. Yeah, that's a good one.
That the humans remain entertained until the end.
Absolutely. And I'm going to talk about that congressman bawling his eyes out over giving up, having to resign. We're getting caught with his hands in the cookie jar here. Congressman Cunningham from California, Randy Duke Cunningham, who was the inspiration for the movie Top Gun with Tom Cruise. He started, boo, I got caught and everything. And too close? Am I too close? Get a little closer. Okay. He's bawling his eyes out because he got caught. He reminded me of Jimmy Swaggart there. I didn't, I shamed you. He taken $2.4 million in bribes from defense contractors and others. I mean, some of this stuff is horrible. If I was his daughter, I'd be upset because, he only he took only $2,081 for the graduation party for his daughter. Yet he took $4,631 for a weekend trip to at the Greenbrier Resort in West Virginia, and he took $32,508 to buy and repair a Rolls Royce, and use of a $140,000 boat its owner renamed the Dukester. So I don't know, and then a $200,000 down payment on an Arlington, Virginia condominium, and a $525,000 to pay off a second mortgage on Cunningham's house. So this guy, he gets everything he deserves. The charges here, the U.S. Attorney Carol Lamb said Cunningham did the worst thing an elected official can do. He enriched himself through his position. The charges carry a maximum of 10-year sentence, but Cunningham could get less. Oh, he'll get less. They take care of their own up there in Washington because he is helping the government with its investigation, which continues. Sentencing is set for February 27th. So he's going away for a while. I hope he goes away for a while and meets somebody named Rufus in the local prison there, and he shows him how it is in jail, And what else am I talking about? And last night was the first new Nightline with Cynthia McFadden, Terry Moran, and Martin Bashir of the Michael Jackson video deal. And I liked the program. It wasn't too bad. They all, paid homage to Ted Koppel, and they went on with the program. It's a little more of a magazine-style program than it was a straight, solid news program. Martin Bashir did a story about a deaf football team winning, I feel like 15 games in a row and everything else, and they can't hear the referee's whistle, but they're going on to the division championship wherever they're from, so that was good. And then last night on Countdown with Keith Olbermann, they ran a video with country music western playing in the background of cars being shot and crashing. Seemingly, the shootings are at random. The camera's shooting through the back window of the car, and apparently the bullets are hitting these cars coming behind them. And the car, they're showing a video of the car slamming in the posts or just rolling off the road because the driver was shot. And it's from a website called Aegis Iraq. .co.uk, Aegis Iraq.co.uk. So that was from Countdown and MSNBC last night. And then coincidentally, I found this on Bill O'Reilly's website from BillO'Reilly.com, his enemies list. The following media operations have regularly helped distribute defamation and false information supplied by far left websites. And the number one is the New York Daily News. Number two is the St. Petersburg Times, and three is MSNBC. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, I like seeing MSNBC. I watch Countdown. I watch Hardball. I mean, I don't see what's wrong with their shows or, reporting the news. I mean, they all have their opinions. I watch a little bit of CNN. Fox, I don't know what you call Fox then. Bill O'Reilly continues, they are the worst offenders. In the months to come, we expect to add more names to this list. And he says, we recommend that you do not patronize these operations and that advertisers do the same. They are dishonest and not worth your time and money. I'd like to be MSNBC and reading that, and I'd be pissed. So, I mean, I don't know who O'Reilly thinks he is. How about Geraldo there at the beginning of this Nally Holly business passing off all these horrible rumors about those guys down there? I mean, it's ridiculous. And... Greta Van Susteren and some of those shows they do on Fox. I mean, come on, and they're playing up to their conservative base with this Finding Jesus or the Birth of Christ thing. They keep re-airing that thing over and over and over and over. So, but anyway, this first news to you actually came in from WLS Channel 7 in Chicago yesterday. Falling debris, because we had the debris that fell from the Supreme Court building yesterday, and also there's falling debris in Chicago. The falling debris closes Lakeshore Drive ramp from WLS, which once again stands for World's Largest Store, since Sears started Channel 7 in Chicago. The entrance ramp for Lakeshore Drive at North Michigan Avenue, which is a very well-to-do area, was closed briefly Monday. Police say the ramp... Where's my music? No? Hey, where's my music? Where's my newest music? Oh, there it is. There it is. It's a little loud, but it's all right. Can you turn it down? A little lower. There you go. I'm starting to put myself to sleep.
Oh, you jumped from that news story into
sorry.
The news. I totally
I'm sorry. I didn't
it.
Mean to interrupt your emailing. You're not even cybersex, are you?
I'm not.
All right. Anyway, I missed the music. Traffic on Lakeshore Drive was not impacted. The police say the ramp was blocked because of some debris had fallen on the roadway from the overpass. Blah, blah, blah. So the debris is falling on Lakeshore Drive, which is an old street in Chicago. So, and it's also from Illinois. Two killed from carbon monoxide poisoning. Resident left car running in his garage. This is from in Lincolnwood, Illinois. Brilliant. Two men were found dead in an apparent carbon monoxide poisoning in the north suburbs Monday morning. The odorless fumes are believed to have seeped into their condo from a vehicle left running in their apartment building's garage. Three others were hospitalized in good condition. Firefighters were called to a building in North Cicero Avenue in Lincolnwood. What appeared to be a separate emergency. They got there and a man was having chest pains and they discovered high levels of carbon monoxide. And then they discovered that the victim, who they thought was having a heart attack, his wife was not responding, and they couldn't wake her up to come with them to the hospital. And they found out there was high levels, somehow they tested for high levels of carbon monoxide. And two men who died from this carbon monoxide, one was 78 years old and the other one was 73, and both were widowers. And this one that died, his name is Birch, he's supposedly the one who left his car running in the garage and forgot.
Oh my gosh.
Forgot the
damn
thing.
Suck.
And he forgot the damn thing was running. Horrible.
You are a meathead.
Absolutely, he was a meathead. He's not with us anymore. And you hear that? You hear that about the people with the carbon monoxide too? They're starting up these generators in their houses, or they're starting fires in the fireplaces. They're not opening up the flue, and all the smoke's going, you know, the carbon monoxide's backing up into the house, killing them. So. This next one, this is the gift that keeps on giving from the priests. Alleged abusive clerics who worked at Mary Star of the Sea Catholic Church in San Pedro, California. At least 7 accused abusive priests have worked at this one parish. At least 4 of the accused predators allegedly molested... No, this is different now. Allegedly molested dozens of girls, no less. Girls, not boys this time. Some of the archdiocese's most prominent clerics, including Monsignor Richard A. Loomis, former head of clergy who oversaw misconduct allegations against priests, is accused himself. So this guy overseeing this misconduct allegation, he's also accused of abusing a teenage boy. Oh, there you go. We know it couldn't be all girls. It had to be a kid in here. Father Santiago Tamayo. Yeah, this one's. Santiago Tamayo, along with 6 other priests, is accused of gang raping and impregnating a girl. Yeah, but what
it's
is
difficult
this?
For me to express myself.
Yeah.
On the verge of exploding in my pants.
He was. But gang raping this poor girl and impregnating her.
That's gotta hurt.
Yeah. And the victim was then secretly sent to the Philippines to give birth to the child. Tamayo initially denied the allegations and left the country. He later returned to the U.S. despite church officials warning him not to return to avoid prosecution. What the hell? So the church is telling him not to come back because he'd get prosecuted. This is unbelievable. Tamayo publicly apologized to his victim, oh, of course, after she had the kid, and admitted that he and 6 other priests raped the girl. Lovely, lovely, lovely. This is another one. 2 stories in 1 week from the Catholic Church. Lovely. Reviewer of abuse claims is accused. This is another one. A clinical psychologist reviewed sexual abuse complaints for the Roman Catholic Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, has resigned amid allegations that he molested 2 brothers when he worked for the DuPage County Health Department almost 30 years ago. The boy's mother, Mary Greeley Tretter, who now works in Greeley, Colorado, said she had been recently diagnosed with cervical cancer and had suffered a broken jaw at the hands of her ex-husband when she sought counseling for herself and her 2 young sons, blah, 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 in 79. She would meet with this creep, Carger, for 30 minutes.
You are one pathetic loser.
Yeah, and it gets better. For $1 an hour, she would meet with Carger for 30 minutes. Then she, the mother, would sit in the waiting room while her sons went behind closed doors with this guy. The counseling lasted a few months. The one son said that he recalls 3 visits to Carger's office, during which the doctor removed the child's clothes and fondled him.
Oh, mama.
Thomas Tretter recounts similar abuse. He said he said when he showed stolen Star Wars action figures to the doctor promised to keep quiet about the theft if Thomas agreed to stay silent about the abuse. So, man, oh, man.
Spare me your 6th grade Michael Moore logic.
There you go. Horrible. Another one. There's a gift that keeps on giving. Police arrest. This is Honolulu. Police arrest 5 boys accused of raping a girl 11 years old. Suspects range in age from 11 to 15. Honolulu police arrested 5 teenage boys on Saturday in connection with the rape of an 11-year-old girl at a downtown park.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Police characterized the attack on a little girl who was playing near a jungle gym early Tuesday as an act of atrocity. A team of officers began knocking on suspects' doors, and they arrested all these kids. The suspects in custody are a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old, 2 13-year-olds, and an 11-year-old. I don't even think thinking about sex when I was 11, but grew up early in Hawaii there, huh? And this next one is from Friday, or from Tuesday, from the Roto-Rooter company. Roto-Rooter employees say Thanksgiving among the busiest time of the year. Roto-Rooter employees say Thanksgiving is among the busiest times of the year for unclogging kitchen drains. Plumbers say they've been busy the last 2 days unclogging sinks full of food from Thanksgiving. Apparently people are sticking the whole damn turkey into the damn disposal and expecting it to chop it up. I mean, I don't know. Roto-Rooter says you should be cautious what you put down your drain. No kidding. To prevent any problems, blah, blah, blah. So it's a public service announcement from Roto-Rooter. We thank them for joining us. But, I saw that. I'm like, what the hell? This is another one from Monday. Five men accused of stealing holiday decorations. This is from Missouri, Belton, Missouri. Police think they've caught a few Grinches who are stealing Christmas decorations from some metro area homes. Friday night, a snowman was taken from a yard of a Belton home. The theft was caught on tape. The snowman was found in a ditch several blocks away. So they found these guys stealing holiday decorations from in front of houses. Idiots, you know. It happens out here a lot in Vegas, too. And I got my neighbor's got a little camera in front of his house. So, and we had this from Zimbabwe, a Zimbabwe election update. Zimbabwe police said on Saturday voting for senatorial elections in all parts of the country were proceeding without any incidents of violence. They said that there had been absolutely no incidents of political violence and expected the situation to remain the same throughout the voting period. That's good news from Zimbabwe. I think we had one of our foreign policy discussions talking about Zimbabwe and how that part of the world is always tense with the civil wars and everything. So hopefully things are starting to calm down a little bit. This next one is from Afghanistan. We forgot about that. We were so busy thinking about Iraq, we forgot about Afghanistan here. Explosives found in Afghanistan. Seven persons were arrested on Saturday along with two cars full of explosives in the Afghan capital, Kabul. Let's see here. Two cars full of explosives in the city of Kabul and arrested four persons in the car. A third car was seized after finding the direct relation with the first two cars. So now there's three cars involved in this mess. So there you go. And this next one is from Monday from Merck Pharmaceuticals. Merck to eliminate 7,000 jobs in five plants. It must be part of the General Motors business there. Faced with thousands of Vioxx lawsuits, the loss of patent protection for a key product and a weak array of drugs in development, Merck & Company is axing more than 10% of its workforce and eliminating five production plants. So Merck shares fell $1.42 or 4.6%. So Merck's in trouble. The supply chain, they're going to pretty much close every plant they have. They immediately start cutting to 7,000 jobs. Half of those in the United States. The company's manufacturing sector will take the biggest percentage of cuts. So, man, oh, man, those Vioxx lawsuits are hitting them hard. This next one is from Monday about the agencies weighing single-letter web addresses. Pretty much you'll be able to punch in one single letter.com and you'll be able to find a website. So I'm not going to read the whole thing because I don't understand it. And Poland's defense minister opens Warsaw Pact archives to historians. Poland's defense minister signed an order Friday that would give researchers access to most of the Warsaw Pact's top secret archives, including decisions related to the 1968 invasion of Czechoslovakia. The document will make almost 1,700 volumes of files available for the public to review. Led by the Soviet Union, blah, blah, the Warsaw Pact. We're going to talk about, as an example, the documents on file. There is a 1979 map detailing the potential Warsaw Pact targets in case of a nuclear war with the NATO alliance. And among them was Brussels, Belgium, German cities of Munich, and Cologne were targets of the Warsaw Pact in case of a nuclear war. So, and let's see here. This next one's from Friday. Mediterranean diet, good for the heart. Eating a Mediterranean-style diet for 3 months can reduce the risk of heart disease by 15%, a new study showed. Mediterranean diet enriched in whole grains, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and fish, and olive oil, and light on red meat. Supposedly can extend your life, reduce heart disease by 15%, thereby extending your life, you would think. So that's always good news. And then we had our update from Turkey from the EU Observer. Actually, no, this is EurasiaNet.org. This guy I've been talking to, his name is Igor. Public support for EU integration seems to slip in Turkey. So for a while there, Turkey was, they're wanting to get Turkey into the EU, but now the public's turning against it because the EU is putting so many steps they have to take to modernize the country that now the people don't want anything to do with the EU and Turkey. It says here that hard bargaining has characterized the early stages of Ankara, which is the capital of Turkey, their effort to gain EU membership. Pleased to be sapping.
It's pronounced Ankara.
Talk about what?
Ankara.
Ankara. Oh,
that's how it's pronounced.
Ankara. Okay, thank you very much. That's our geography lesson today. Thanks to Consolar for our geography lesson.
Well, I should know I'm Turkish, damn it.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you were Russian. the difference. You're all from that same part of the world. No. What else here? Say that recent opinion polls register an increase of nationalist sentiment in Turkey, a mood generally at odds with EU membership. So the growing popularity of a nationalist outlook is a direct result of the Turks' frustration over the EU's grudging approval to proceed with the accession process. So, you know, one of those rules we went through that a couple weeks ago. They got to, change so many things in Turkey. So the people themselves are turning against the idea of the EU, Turkey joining the EU. So, and then we have Iraqi army seized booby-trapped toys. The Iraqi army said on Thursday it had seized a number of booby-trapped children's dolls, accusing insurgents of using the explosive-filled toys to target children. The dolls were found in a car, each one containing a grenade or other explosive. The toys look similar to dolls handed out by U.S. soldiers to children. That's.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Does that suck?
Yeah. So I hope they got all those toys, huh? Let's see. The next one's from Neuroscience Canada. UBC scientists create protein to block addiction cravings. A team of researchers at the University of British Columbia found a way to block the communication between brain cells that triggers drug cravings, a finding that could lead to new therapies to treat addiction and relapse, as well as compulsive behaviors associated with schizophrenia. So that's good news. Good news. Good science. Science can do a lot. They just, give them some time and hope they get some of these things out of the way, you know. This next one is from radio news. From Radio 1 plans a Black Talk radio network. I don't know why they keep the Air America's falling apart. Now that they're trying to launch an all-black radio network. I mean, I don't know. Radio 1 has plans to launch the first national talk radio network geared for a black audience. Now this guy really, we're in the black people business. Alfred C. Liggins III said in a recent conference call, "We are in the people business of aggregating audience for this particular demo and providing content to them." I don't think it matters what color is the damn radio host, because you can't see the radio host. What does it matter what color it is? As long as the content of the program is good. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. Yeah. And here I sit. You know, I should be on this black radio network. Hell, you know. Not black, but what the hell? You know, and anyway, this is from Baltimore on Friday. Baltimore dims as thieves snatch lights. Police say light poles cost $750 and weigh 250 pounds each. City streets in Baltimore are getting darker these days because thieves are stealing the damn 30-foot light poles. About 130 aluminum light poles. How do you steal a damn light pole without somebody seeing it? I can't figure that one out. About 130 aluminum light poles have vanished this fall from locations across the city, despite the difficulty of carting off the 250-pound objects. They've been dressed up as utility crews, city officials said, and placed orange traffic cones around the poles they're about to take down to avoid making motorists suspicious. Ah, there you go. So that's why. Police have no suspects in the thefts. So they're possibly using it as scrap metal. No kidding. I don't think they're using it for light up their house with those poles, are they? This next one is from the Japan. Japan backs Russia's World Trade Organization bid. This is from AlJazeera.net. From Thursday, Japan has agreed to back Russia's bid to join the WTO after leaders of the two countries promised to work towards a territorial dispute that has hampered relations for 60 years. So Putin and Koizumi has agreed on Monday to a joint program to combat terrorism, blah, 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 blah. So now Japan's going to help Russia get into the WTO, and there's a border dispute with water rights off of Russia and Japan, and they're in contest who controls those waterways there. So, and let's see. Russia has yet to negotiate a deal with the U.S., so that's a footnote to that. It's from Friday. Father kills son before Thanksgiving dinner. Son must have made a claim for the white meat.
Wow!
Yeah. Police said a Canton man shot and killed his son after two got into an argument while preparing Thanksgiving dinner. Russell.
What in the name of corn on the cob is going on around here?
Russell Huff II was charged with one count of murder and was being held in Stark County Jail. His 26-year-old son, Russell Huff III, there you go, died of a gunshot wound to the chest.
You are one pathetic loser.
Yeah, the argument escalated and the father shot the son with a .22 caliber rifle. Wow, he wasn't messing around. So that house has been a...
That's gotta hurt.
Yeah, the two lived in... police have responded in the past to calls domestic violence.
Holy
shit. There you go. And this next one, man charged with secretly videotaping neighbors. People say man taped people showering and having sex. This is from Canal Fulton, Ohio. Police accuse a man of secretly videotaping his neighbors, taking showers and having sex. A search of Michael Jacob's home.
And I am happy, I am the next.
A search of Michael Jacob's home turned up 32 tapes depicting nude images of the unsuspecting couple, authorities said. This guy, Jacob, was arrested on Wednesday. Right here. The couple were in their 20s. The victims, two victims, a 23-year-old woman and a 22-year-old man. And a microphone was in the kitchen. The court report showed that two wireless video cameras set up in the victim's basement and aimed at the shower. So, I don't know. Put those tapes on the internet and make some money off of those, huh? Next one is from the Philippines. Philippine military launches airstrike against Abu Sayyaf in Sulu. Not Sulu from Star Trek, is it? I don't know. Philippine military aircraft Thursday pounded a mountain base of the Abu Sayyaf armed group in the Indian town in Sulu, killing an undetermined number of its members, military officials said. Armed forces of the Philippines task force said that bomber planes and assault helicopters took part in the airstrike in Sulu, which lies 900 kilometers southwest of Manila. So that's always good. Some worldly news in here. And the CIA continues to use EU airports to carry terror suspects. That's brewing up, too, because the EU doesn't want the United States using these secret bases, prisons, for holding these terrorist suspects. And they're starting to snoop around, see what the CIA is doing with all these prisoners, because they have reports of these planes landing all over Europe. The U.S. intelligence branch CIA is still using European airports for stopovers on flights carrying terrorist suspects, a German daily has reported. Reports suggest German airports are still facilitating the transport of suspected terrorists by the CIA to a Guantanamo Bay camp or possibly to alleged secret prisons somewhere in Eastern Europe. CIA planes, some of them known to be implicated in a practice of rendition, the extrajudicial seizure of terrorists, blah, 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 have landed at airports across Europe, including Poland, Romania, Sweden, Norway, Iceland, the Netherlands, Spain, Germany, and Malta. So these CIA planes are all over the place. So I wonder where all these secret prisons are at, you know? Amazing how they can do this, and these countries don't know we have these secret prisons in their own countries. It's amazing. Roma face racism in EU. The Roma have emerged as the group facing the highest levels of discrimination across Europe. According to an annual study by the European Monitoring Center on Racism and Xenophobia in Vienna, published on Wednesday, according to the report, critical situations of the Roma communities have been registered mainly in the countries of Central and Eastern Europe, like the Czech Republic, Hungary, and Slovakia. So Roma are always known as gypsies. They face discrimination in employment, housing, education, as well as regular victims of racial violence. So... don't they just read palms or something, huh? They can make money doing that. No. This next one is from the, I got this from CNN. Distinctive Chicago chocolate smell pollution to, chocolate smell, its pollution to some is going to disappear. This is from the Bloomer Chocolate Company. It is a factory in Chicago by the river. And when they make chocolate, especially in the winter, oh man, that odor uses all over downtown. You smell the chocolate. Like, oh man, it was great. But then somebody had to complain to the EPA. Only takes one complaint to get the EPA into action here. Let's see here. Bloomers, now they're making them put in these fans and other kind of air purification device so the smell of chocolate doesn't go out into the city. So, horrible. It's been there for years. Nobody, I don't know, what's the big? It's been there for as long as I've been alive. They've been, that smell of chocolate's been going throughout the city. So, I don't know. And people are in a little better mood. They smell the chocolate. But, oh well. And this next one is from Indianapolis, Indiana, about the lack of school bus drivers, a challenge for many districts. Driving a school bus is becoming a job that fewer and fewer people in Indiana seem to want. The Indianapolis Star reports today that many of the state's school districts are having a problem finding and keeping qualified drivers to take children to and from school. And where's our report from the Dunkelfin? Justin's will be with us, and hopefully he'll still be calling here. But a pleasant smell to some is pollution to others. And citing the company earlier this month, the EPA said inhaling the plant's emissions is high, and high concentrations can harm children, the elderly, and people with heart and lung diseases. There's at least one person in Chicago who doesn't. That's the one person that bitched and moaned and complained to the damn EPA, and now they're making them redo it. So, anyway. And then we have finding school bus drivers a challenge for many districts. And I already read that. I'm reading the same story twice. Woman admits hiding newborn's body in a storage shed. A La Crosse woman accused of hiding the body of her newborn baby in a storage shed for 8 months pleaded guilty today to a felony charge for concealing the death of a child. The 20-year-old Christine Bohm entered the plea as part of an agreement with Deputy District Attorney Laura Lee Clark and said she would not recommend prison for the defendant. Why not? I mean, she concealed the death of her damn child. I'd throw her in jail. Bohm admitted in court the details of the criminal complaint were true. She told the investigators the baby was not moving and did not appear to be living, so she wrapped him in a towel and put him in a backpack. Then she left her left in her bedroom closet for 2 days. The complaint said that she moved the body to a plastic garbage can that was in a storage shed behind her apartment. And that's when it was discovered June 17th, and the landlord smelled an odor coming from the can and called the police. So, man, oh man, I don't know what these people. You got the priest still going at it with the kids, and now you got the these people having kids and killing. You know, the baby died, and they're dumping the body into a shed, thinking nobody's going to smell the odor. It's amazing. And then we had this from last Thursday. Thanksgiving was a busy day for news. We had a study: cranberries may prevent cavities. Cranberries, known for their ability to thwart urinary tract infections, may also help prevent tooth decay and cavities. The same sticky compounds in the small red fruit that help keep bacteria at bay in the bladder also appear to be to help prevent bacteria from clinging to teeth, dental researchers reported in a January issue of the journal Caries Research. So eat your damn cranberries. So, is there a guess? No? Okay. I got two more things here. Medicare to pay for some obesity surgeries. There you go. Medicare will pay for surgery to treat obesity, but only for disabled beneficiaries. So, I don't know. Police said they only cover the surgery, which shrinks the stomach by removing part of it or implanting a removable band in those younger than 65. So, they want to pay for some of the obesity surgeries with Medicare. Spend the money, right? Spend it. Vandals target CHP officers' memorials. Memorials pay tribute to Officer John Pedro. This is from Santa Cruz County, California. And an investigation has been started in Santa Cruz County involving destruction of two memorials to honor a California Highway Patrol officer. It's the second time that these memorials have been destroyed. Pedro was killed in June of 2002 after he crashed into a tree while chasing a speeding motorist. They made a Redwood Cross. Anyway, someone pulled the entire memorial up, and recently a memorial sign on the highway was cut down, so people are just nailing this memorial over and over and over again. And then McDonald's is having these gift cards now, so I guess they're steering away from those books of gift certificates, going to the gift card now. So you can show you really care for somebody giving them a McDonald's gift card there. And then we had the city confirm spruce is not holiday trees from Boston. That their tree is not the holly tree, it is a Christmas tree. So they're going against the grain here of the PC police and calling their tree a Christmas tree. So that's good to hear. I mean, it's about time. Calling a Christmas tree a holly tree isn't inclusive. It's disenfranchising people of faith. So, Christmas tree. And then we had this one woman sentenced to in the woods to a night in the woods for dumping kittens. So this woman is this. You know, bitch.
Began wow.
15-day jail terms, but she put the dumping these kittens in the. Where'd she dump them at? She'd abandoned 35 kittens in two Lake County Metro parks. So you just dumped them. And so she can spend a night in the park. So it's her abuse. And then we have nuns sexually abusing people now. Victims of sexual abuse by nuns to pamphlet parishioners after mass. Three women.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Three women who alleged they were sexually abused by nuns plan to hand out flyers this morning, which was Wednesday, to parishioners at St. John Cathedral in Milwaukee. So, well, I think we're ready for our guest because I'm in the end of my news segment here. And we'll bring on Justin from the Dunkelvent blog. Justin, are you there?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's going on there? Hello. How are you?
Well, I have to admit, I've I've dumped a few kittens in my day, too, so I just, you know.
You dumped them in the park. Oh, man.
I left them in the park.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I just, you know, I don't think kittens are cute. I think that they should be dumped, you know. dump as many as you can.
Really? Oh,
dang.
Man.
No,
that's,
of course not. What are you kidding me?
That's not right.
I am a lover of all animals.
Yeah. What about this Ric Flair business? Ric Flair was arrested in a road rage attack in Charlotte. He was in jail for a week in a road rage attack. Ric Flair.
Surprise, surprise. Ric Flair being, you know, having rage.
Yes, but
I can't imagine that, you know, like.
Well, they.
If most of your listeners don't know, he's like a
wrestling legend.
Wrestling legend, yeah.
Absolutely.
Nature boy Ric Flair.
Yes, he spent nearly a week in jail for road rage attack. I saw that on MSNBC. They had footage of him getting released from jail. He looked pretty worn out from his week in jail there. So I mean.
He usually looks pretty worn out anyway. But,
yeah.
You know. Alleged road rage. I don't think you spend a week in jail for an alleged road rage incident.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what he did, but
he probably did more than that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. He probably did a couple things more than what I don't know that he did. So.
Yeah. So once again, we're joined by Justin Gardner from the Dunkelfin blog, and also I wanted to congratulate you on being one of the guest bloggers on the Moderate Voice blog, which is outstanding. Good for you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I've been talking with Joe. Joe's a really good guy, and I just asked if I could possibly do a couple posts, and he was like, yeah, come on board. So.
Yeah, he's a real good guy. He's been real helpful to me getting the word out about the program and everything. And so tonight, I'm looking at your list here. You want to talk about the pullout timetable put forth by the what pullout timetable?
Well, I mean that's probably going to be put forth. It's been floated out there past week or so after Mirtha. I mean, I don't necessarily think Mirtha. I think that it was just kind of timing.
Yeah.
It looks like they're going to essentially say, and this is speculation, but they're essentially going to say we won. The Iraqis are combat ready, and we're going to, you know, once we have certain milestones, we're just going to pull more and more troops out. And I mean, I'll be honest with you. It depends on who you talk to.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I don't know if you saw the interview Wolf Blitzer with Seymour Hersh.
Oh yes.
Yeah. now here's the thing with Seymour Hersh. I've read his stuff, and his stuff has turned out to be true, right? I mean, that's just the thing with Seymour Hersh. I mean, you can say that he's a liberal journalist or whatever, but
yeah, he's pretty credible.
Stuff turns out to be. What's that?
He's pretty credible.
He's pretty credible.
Yeah.
And he's saying things are not good over there.
Mm.
Okay. And regardless of what we think we're hearing or we're not hearing, or this whole idea of this meme about the good news, where's the good news out of Iraq? It doesn't seem to me like it's getting better. It doesn't seem to me like this is a time where we should really be talking about pulling out. I mean, I think a fairly unpopular opinion about the making the, some sort of timetable. I think we should actually stay there as long as it takes, so that the terrorists can have some other type of distraction, so they don't start going after the different factions within the Iraqi government and trying to split them.
Yeah.
Because that's what I fear is going to happen. I fear that since we're not talking about the United States democracy. We're talking about an Islamic democracy.
Yeah, they're going to hold on.
I really think that the terrorists could have could get in there and start to influence the process, and I think that it could lead to civil war.
Well, what about the idea that we'll pull out to the border region of Iraq and let things see how things work there? The troops would back out, and we'll protect the border of Iraq and let the Iraqi troops take care of the interior of the country. We'll just guard the border so that these terrorists won't keep coming over the border from Syria or Iran.
Well, that's a possibility. Here's the thing. I think that they're going to be able to get in regardless, and I think that they already are in. And it doesn't necessarily mean that just because we stem the flow of of people coming over, I mean, they're still going to get over. It doesn't matter,
yeah.
Right? And so what we really need to do is we need to make sure that the Iraqis are combat ready. And I really don't think that it doesn't seem like they are. They weren't combat ready beforehand. Mm. And it also seems like, I mean, from the, you know, I don't know how many of your viewers have seen that Seymour Hersh interview, but it really feels like you can't talk truth to power to this administration.
Yeah.
Top military officials just cannot get their messages in to Bush, and he feels like he's going to be judged 20 years from now.
Yeah.
And that scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're too afraid to actually voice their concerns to Bush that they're just keeping quiet.
No, it just isn't going to get to him.
Yeah.
They can try.
Yeah.
Right.
Rumsfeld.
But it's just not going to get to him. He's too insulated, and he's also thinking, you know, I'm going to be judged by history.
Yeah, he's going to go down swinging on this, huh?
Yeah. Well, and to a certain extent, he's right if that is truly what he's thinking. But I would tell you, just, you know, go watch that Seymour Hersh interview, and you know, Seymour Hersh basically been right about, you know, nearly everything that he said Iraq and the prison abuse scandal and what is still yet to come out.
Well,
Well,
Hersh has been making the rounds, because I also saw him on Hardball tonight with Chris Matthews and Alex Hirsch. But, you know, he's got to stop resting his chin on his hand there while he's on the TV, for crying out loud. You know, did you see him on Hardball?
No, I didn't see him on Hardball.
Oh, yeah, he's talking to Chris Matthews with his chin on his hand. You know, like, I'm like, what the hell is this? It's TV. You know,
is he fucking up?
Maybe he had a busy day or something. I don't know. But
maybe he's depressed.
I don't know.
You know? I don't know. But I know that what Bush is going to do, he's going to talk tomorrow about setting the timetable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure. That's the speculation.
Yeah.
And so
do you think the Democrats are going to seize on this, saying that, look, Bush is coming around to Murtha's stance, and now the Democrats are going to say they won?
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of, you know, bullshit like that. But I don't think that, you know, I think right now, you know, I'm very, very uninterested in that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more interested in, like, what is right for the Iraqi people, you know, because we essentially, you know, invaded their country. We, you know, it's saying, for, you know, was it with provocation? Was it without provocation? You know, that's definitely up for, you know, debate.
Mm-hmm.
However, we owe it to them so that they don't descend into civil war.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I really think that we owe it to them to make sure that their forces are ready, and that we're doing it the right way, and not just because it's politically convenient.
Absolutely. Well, like I said before, Colin Powell's thing about the Pottery Barn business is true, and we went in and we broke that toy. We got to sit there until we fix the damn thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it might take a while to fix it, but
yeah.
But you know, we should do the right thing, and the right thing right now, it doesn't seem like the right thing is very popular with the American people.
No.
You know? And hey, listen, fair enough,
no.
Right? But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's vital. And like I said, my opinion isn't very popular within the Democratic Party. But you know, Hillary Clinton seems to have, you know, the same opinion, and Mark Warner seems to have the same opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, it's just one of these things that I think, you know, these Democrats. I think here's the thing about the whole political landscape.
Mm-hmm.
If Hillary and Mark really want to come out and say, you know, hey, listen, we don't think that this is right, they should do it immediately.
Yeah.
And they should do it after Bush's speech, and they should, you know, then they should, you know, start to define what the Democratic message is on this particular issue.
That's true, because the Democrats, I've sent emails to the DNC every day. It seems like I'm sending one of them. You got to come up with some kind of proposals and all this stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, I like Mark Warner, but now today he did the whole 180 on that guy in death row. You know, he put 11 people to death without clemency in Virginia, and now all of a sudden he's letting this one guy go because he didn't want to be tarred with the 1,000th death, execution in the United States.
Was that it?
I didn't
know anything about that.
Yeah, though. It happened earlier today. I was like, oh, man, you know, and they're all jumping on him saying that he's doing that because he's going to run for president. He doesn't want to be tarred with that 1,000th execution label when he's running for president in 2008.
Yeah, here's the thing. Stuff with those types of things are, you know, they go, the the whole death row stuff. They go through appeals. They go through, just multiple years of stuff. So I'm obviously not comfortable just saying that he did it just to not be the, to kill the thousandth person. Looking into the guy's soul, is like, if that's why he did it, that's a dumb reason.
Yeah.
But I don't think that he's going to. I don't think like the whole death penalty issue is going to be a very big issue in 2008. I mean, that's not going to be the issue.
I hope not. That's the least
war,
economy.
It's going to be foreign oil. I think it's going to be healthcare too.
Yeah.
I think people are getting a little bit sick of hearing about all this freedom and then not actually being able to have freedom from, going into debt for the rest of their life because they have some medical emergency.
True. And also, you want to talk about the Bush on illegal immigration. He was down there in Tucson talking about it today. He wants to do like a guest worker program as well as beefing up the border. Again, he's waking up out of a 6 year sleep here with this, huh?
Well, he was talking about this a while back.
Yeah.
And
he's actually going to do something now, he says, huh?
Yeah, and he says that he's going to do something, but now he's talking about, protecting the border and it's the whole temporary legal status to millions of illegal workers. I mean, basically the amnesty is that it's not very popular with conservatives, but I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to go? I mean, essentially, we have kind of a prison class, and listen, they come into the country, they kind of do it to themselves, but we also have an economy that is built on this illegal all of these illegal workers, and our economy would not do very well if we just rounded them all up and shipped them back to Mexico.
Yes, I said that before. You can't round up, 11 million people and ship them out of the country. You know what I mean?
It would really screw us up.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's like, I think that this is like, you're looking at some honesty, both Kerry and Bush last time, both, in the 2004 election, both voiced, the fact that they think that they should have some sort of amnesty.
Absolutely, I say give them all amnesty because you can't round them up now. We can't fix the flaws in the policies from years ago. Let them all stay here, but from here on forward, then you lower the boom on them.
Yeah. Well, and what I would do first is I would not necessarily talk about the amnesty. I would beef up the border like crazy, and I would. I mean, it's a sieve right now. I mean, anything can get through it. And so you need to really make sure that, that border is protected.
Absolutely.
And I think that there are ways to do that. We just haven't put the money into it. And I think one of the biggest reasons we want to do it is because it's, actually both borders, but Mexico in particular is because we're weakening our economy. It's also, oddly enough, it's not fair to the people coming into the country because, they're not going to have access to medical care. They can get swindled and cheated and they're working essentially to help, build our economy, but they're not really getting any benefits.
That. Well, it's true. At the hotel I work in here in Vegas, we got a bunch of illegal aliens working there. And you mentioned, INS and, they all start running for the doors,
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, listen, we just need to get honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all there is to it. And if Bush comes out and just, and he's not going to say it like this, but I wish some politician would just be like, just lay it out and say, listen, we need to be honest about the fact that our economy is built, not in large part, but is built in some part on the backs of these illegal workers.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't just say, okay, round them up and ship them out. We just can't do that.
You can't do that. I mean, as much as I like, locally we have a host named Mark Edwards. And he has a Wake Up America show about illegal immigration. And they advocate that. And my only disagreement with them is that you can't. There's no way we can round up 11 million people. You can't put the United States Army, into the streets of the country and round up 11 million people. I can imagine the headlines now or the news footage, people getting dragged out of their houses. I mean, it's going to be horrible. You can't do that.
Yeah, and that's we don't want to do that, and we can't do it.
No,
and I mean it's both logistically ridiculous, but what we can do is we can make sure that the border is
fixed
here, and we can put the technology in there, and we can put the men and women in there who are going to make sure that the border is secure and make sure that, you know, people do not and get rid of this stupid catch and release.
Oh yeah, well he's got to beef up the budget for that, because I saw where he increased the budget for Border Patrol, but then he cut the budget for the budget for returning these illegal aliens to their countries. He's cut that, you know, and you need more. You know, as I said, we got to fix it. We got to put up that fence. We got to bring some troops home from Europe and put them on the borders, you know, to back up the Border Patrol. I mean, it's the common sense things that nobody's willing to do. You know.
I agree.
The Republicans see, you know, they want to alienate the Mexican voters, the Hispanic voters, you know, because they're making inroads with them now with Bush, and then the Democrats don't want to touch it either, because, you know, that's in one of their constituencies. So nobody wants to touch it, and here they are all flying over the border. You know.
Well, I think one of the issues is we have to make sure that there are ways for those, you know, if the Mexican workers can come in legally to the country, you know, and this is a part where I actually, you know, I agree with Bush.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we, you know, because our economy is essentially, you know, it definitely has ties to these illegal workers. We need to make sure that, you know, these illegal workers can come in. They can, but come in, you know, by legal means.
Absolutely.
So they don't flood through the border,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they have incentive to you know, go through their government, you know, and get into our country, you know, illegal. And by the way, at that point, we're also going to, you know, we're going to basically minimize, you know, our own terrorism threat, right? You know, we're going to make sure that, you know, the terrorists, you know, don't have a way to, like, get through. And that's what really really bugs me, is that, you know, we have this border. And there is a possibility that, you know, I mean, the next thing that we're talking about, essentially, is some sort of dirty nuclear attack
mm-hmm.
on the United States. I mean, the likelihood that, you know, you're going to have planes flying into a building, you know, is not very likely. But not all the nukes have been rounded up, what is much more likely is that you're going to have some sort of dirty bomb attack, mm-hmm. and how is that going to get through?
Yeah, through the border.
It's going to get through the border. I mean, it's not coming from inside. It's not like we've lost some nukes inside our own country.
No, it's from the outside.
Yeah, and so, I mean, like, we need to make sure that doesn't happen, because that would be devastating. That would be, like, 10 times more devastating than 9/11.
Yeah, and how about
I was just going to say, I just cut you off again.
Go ahead. Yeah. I just want to hit the next topic, because we're running a little. We only got 4 minutes left in the segment. But the corruption in D.C. about Cunningham going down. I was brought to tears by his heartfelt apology today or yesterday. And then the Amarbrough thing is left next. And then Matthew said there's 60 congressmen being investigated for various scandals. I think all this is going to blow wide open, huh?
Yeah, I do too. I mean, Abramoff is essentially, you know, he's a power broker, he's a power lobbyist in D.C. And, you know,
who's it going to affect?
Cunningham was, you know, a very extreme case of corruption.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's like, what was it? I was reading a story. It's like mansion, a yacht, $1.8 million in cash. Silver candelabras, a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, some kind
I mean,
of
it's just, it's
antique
like, how
toilet,
much,
too.
How much is enough? What's that?
Some kind of antique toilet he bought, too. Some commode.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would have done it just for that. I mean, like, you know, because that's worth it, right?
Well, then Rush Limbaugh was actually defending him, not really defending him, saying, oh, he just made a simple mistake. How can you make a $2.4 million mistake?
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't make a simple mistake. And Rush is just trying to carry the rights water again.
It's amazing. And then what else? And he only took a $2,000 bribe for his daughter's graduation party. I'd be insulted if I was her. You know, you think he would have, you know, taken some more money for a graduation party instead of this $2,000? You know.
Yeah, you know,
amazing.
This is just, you know, what I don't know how we're gonna do it, and I don't know how it's gonna happen. But you need to take this money out of politics, and money and politics are pretty much intrinsically linked. So, like, how exactly do you do that? I mean, like, you know, when you're, you know, creating these, when you're essentially pumping billions upon billions of dollars into your state, and you know, and people need, you know, they're going to have these contracts that are just going to make their companies, you know, that much more richer. I mean, like, what's going to stop people from just, you know, greasing a few palms here and there?
I don't know.
I mean, like, there's a Democrat that's being investigated that had links to Abramoff, who was Byron Dorgan.
Oh yes.
Yeah, you know, and he might have gotten a little bit of money for making a favorable decision for his tribal client, Abramoff's tribal client. So, you know, I mean, it's just, it is. It's like there are probably about 60, you know, 60 or so people who just thought that this was, you know, just how you did business.
Yeah,
you know, this is just one of those things. You know, well, it might be wrong, but this is just how it goes.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It is. And I don't know how you're going to fix it. Well, honestly don't.
You got to ban all this lobbyist money. Nobody's got the cojones to do it. McCain's been trying, but you know, nobody's going to back him up. But they got to ban all this damn soft money and all this all these lobbyists from D.C. I don't know how you're going to do it, but somebody's got to stand up and say enough is enough and end it. You know?
I
don't know who.
I honestly know, and McCain mm-hmm. needs to. Yeah, I mean, he's really pushing to make sure that the soft money doesn't get into, you know, politicians' hands, and yet it's not really, the whole McCain-Feingold thing really isn't working very well because of the 527s, and any politician that is going to run for office needs to have soft money.
Yeah, well.
Or else they're not going to be able to compete because the other side is going to do it.
Yeah.
So that's where you run into this catch-20. Well, we want to get rid of it, but when are we going to get rid of it?
True.
Right?
True.
Because, I mean, and McCain, if he's going to run for president, he'll probably have to take soft money.
I don't know. It's a mess.
I know. It's real shitty, but that's just kind of, you know, kind of reality right now that we're dealing with. So how do we, do we set a date? You know, is it like 2006? You can't do it anymore, else you're going to get prosecuted?
I don't know. Yeah. It's something's got to be done because, you know what, all the young people at work I talk to about registering to vote, because I'm a big, you know, register, you know, everybody to vote, you know, kick, I'm always on, and they're like, why? They're all a bunch of crooks. Why am I going to vote for one crook over the other? You can't tell one, they're both crooks, Democrats and Republicans, they're all a bunch of crooks. And you can't argue with them because you watch the news and it's all you hear, you know, this guy crying and, oh, he was caught, you know, and then you got the Abramoff thing coming down and you got the Scooter Libby and it's like, what is going on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you.
It's maddening.
What we need is a new.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to end anytime soon.
Yeah.
But what we need is a new crop of leaders.
Yeah. Well, we won't find them.
Who are? What's that?
Oh well, I hope we find them.
Well, I think stuff like this shifts the mood in a country,
yeah.
And it shifts the mood towards, you know, I don't know if you call it idealism. I think it just shifts it more towards, you know, being right, you know, and not falling prey to this type of corruption, not falling prey to lobbyists.
True.
And I would hope that, you know, this newest crop of junior senators
mm-hmm.
and junior congressmen really see this.
Yeah.
And they see where it leads, and they see that, you know, hey, it might be nice to have a Rolls Royce, you know, but ultimately it's just not worth it.
Yeah. Well, Justin, we got to let you go. We're at the end of our segment.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
All right, man.
Thank
you. See you next week.
All right. Thank you. And that was Justin Gardner from the Donkelvent Centrist blog. We thank him for his report about the state of our political affairs right now. I mean, it makes you sick, though. You got this you know, ass from California crying that he got caught. And that's the only reason why he's crying, is the guy got nailed. You know, I mean, this is the Rolls Royce. I mean, $525,000 to pay off a second mortgage. I mean, all this defense contracts, they're steering them, to certain defense contractors over another. I mean, it's nuts. And Rolls Royces, you got $4,600 for a weekend at the Greenbrier Resort in West. What kind of a room are you in for $4,600 for a weekend? You know, better be the damn presidential suite. Only $2,000 for his poor daughter's graduation party. You know, if I was her, I'd be pissed. You know, I'd ask for more money. And it's crazy. You know, you can't at work. Like I said, you can't talk to these young people about registering to vote with all these scandals brewing around because they look at you like you're crazy. You know, they'll say, "Here, are you registered to vote?" No. And I always carry a couple of voter registration forms with me. I'm like, "Here you go." And they're like, "No, I'm not registered. Who am I going to vote for? They're all a bunch of damn crooks." I said it before, but it's true. You know, I mean, what the hell? So anyway, we'll take a little couple minute break. We'll be back with Eric Olson from the Blog Critics, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Thank you. welcome back to Subject to Discussion, the second hour of the program. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. And joining us now would be Eric Olson from blogcritics.org. Eric Olson, are you there?
I am here and pleased to be so.
Ah, thank you. Thank you for joining us there. I asked you last week if you knew anybody to want to do a pop culture report each week on the program, and you said you would do it, so I'm honored. Thank you very much.
Well, my pleasure. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to maintain the weekly schedule every week because I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning,
man.
And it's 11:10 here now. But I'm telling you, I had to do the inaugural blast because we are honored that you asked us to participate.
Well,
and
I appreciate
it's a great opportunity, and really, I've enjoyed speaking with you in the past, and really felt I had to do it, so
well,
I girded my loins.
Well, you could pass it to some. I'm sure you got some underlings there that will your elves at Blog Critics that will want to do it on the weeks that you can't, right?
We have nubile slaves and whatnot. Yes.
Very good. And among the topics you want to talk about, I have your list here, is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, huh?
Well, sure. That's the big news. I'm here in Cleveland, so besides just having a general interest in rock music that goes back far too many years.
Really?
I'm right here. So I've been, sort of involved to a greater or lesser extent really since it opened. In fact, I covered the opening for a radio station that I worked at the time here in Cleveland way back in 95.
Wow.
We were all out on the street in front of the Rock Hall doing our little broadcasts and interviewing anyone we could grab when they walked by. I remember I got real close to Lou Reed and go, "Oh my God, Lou, you look like you're 70 years old." Because, on the album covers and everything, he's got all that makeup on.
Yeah.
He looks like a rock star, but up close, phew, boy. But anyway, it was great. It's an interesting place. I understand the theories. I mean, I can see both sides of the coin where a lot of people, a lot of purists, rock and roll purists, say the very act of establishing a museum and a Hall of Fame to something as active and organic and fluid and anti-establishment, for that matter, as rock and roll is anathema. But on the other hand, I think it has done a lot of good. It has brought a lot of people into, or a little closer anyway, into the public eye, people who are long since forgotten or mostly forgotten or have been kind of niche artists. And I'm thinking at the moment of Solomon Burke, who had pretty well been forgotten. He was a real big soul star of the 60s and 70s, but when he was inducted a few years ago, he got a recording contract out of it and a new lease on life.
Wow.
There's really been quite a few who've had, at least a boost. It's kind of like the Oscars or something where you get that boost out of it. So anyway, they just announced the this year's, 06, which will be in March, I believe, typically is when we do it. When they do it, I always podcast it as well. I should podcast being the new terminology.
Yes.
It's called webcast. I'm there each year, just writing up what happens as it happens.
Well, very good.
Live, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, they announced the new members, and it's a really interesting class. In some ways, it's second tier compared to all the people who've gotten in over the last now over 10 years.
Well, I'd say You got Leonard Skinner. Now he's going to be in Vegas this weekend, or is it a he? I don't know who they are.
No, well, there was a he. There really was a he.
What it was
a bunch of old long-haired hippie kids back down in Florida in the early 70s, probably even late 60s, early 70s, and they had a gym teacher who they loathed and despised.
Wow.
Hated these grubby kids with their long hair and their rock and roll music.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Leonard Skinner. And they sort of bastardized the spelling of the name a little bit to get around any sort of liability.
Really?
And they put Y's in for all the vowels. So it's Leonard Skinner.
So there was
a guy, but he was never in the band.
So they're going in. Black Sabbath is going in. Blondie is going in. Miles Davis and the Sex Pistols. So yeah, they're just kind of like the B list. They're starting to go into the Hall of Fame. Well, they run out of A list or what?
Well, in a way they have. If you think about it, they have the induction every year, right? So there's X number who are nominated, and then they vote. The voting committee is a pretty large group. The nominating committee is small, Then all of the, basically all the daily rock writers at the various papers and magazines and whatnot, then vote. And so, you know, you have this process going on every year, and, I mean, they're not going to not vote anyone in. So if you think about it, over time, they are going to run out of the very, very highest quality people. And, of course, you have this moving forward in time factor because the rules are you have to have put out your first record 25 years ago. So, of course, that keeps moving forward. Mm-hmm. So you do get real big bands that are suddenly available, like U2, for example, last year. You know, that's one of the biggest, certainly, of the last 20, 25 years, I would say. And, you know, that was a pretty big deal. But you do have people going in every year, and as you run out of the real frontliners, the innovators, you know, the originators, then you have sort of second-tier people. And I really don't mean second-tier even in a pejorative way, because second-tier is still, you know, pretty great. I mean, I love Blondie, but but they're not, you know, one of the one, two, three, four greatest new wave bands, you know. Those bands are in, you know, Talking Heads.
What about Kiss?
Call it post-punk or whatever, the bands that came along after the punk revolution.
And what about Kiss? The Goof is in the chat room. He's asking, how is Kiss not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
And that brings me to Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath is the first real metal band to get in. The voters have just despised, that loathed, and hated, just like critics all along, especially early on, hated Black Sabbath. Huh. And they hated metal. They didn't think it was rock and roll. They thought it was a perversion of rock and roll. Way off into the extreme, loud, drudgy, real heavy, poorly produced. This is from the perspective of a typical rock critic, not intelligent, you know, kind of silly, goofy, in terms of all this, you know, either satanic imagery or witchcraft or whatnot. You know, the only band that's in the Rock Hall with even, you know, strong connections to metal is Led Zeppelin. And a lot of people say Cream was sort of a proto-metal band, but they were something different, I think. So anyway, Sabbath is the first first metal band, true metal band, I think they are really the quintessential metal band, to get in. So you've broken down this barrier for the very first time. It'll be very interesting to see what bands, metal-associated bands, get in from here on out. I think for sure Metallica will. But with Black Sabbath in, I think it's a lot more likely that you could see Kiss. The thing about Kiss is they still just don't have a whole lot of critical support, whereas Black Sabbath, over time, the critics have kind of come around, or at least a certain kind of critic has come around, the younger ones especially, and have said, wow, you know, they were so seminal, and you had the whole Ozfest phenomena, and you had Ozzy on MTV and all that, and he became such a personality. So you kind of had this full circle came around, you know, making Black Sabbath cool again from a critical perspective. And Kiss has never really had that because they've always been unabashedly sort of cartoonish. But hey, they have a lot of great, you know, just kind of, you know, classic hard rock songs. They're not metal so much as just kind of a standard arena hard rock band.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know how you can keep them out. You know,
I don't know either.
Who sets the rules? Why does every band that get in have to be of a certain type? It's really been amazing. There's still not one single, you know, what would be called today a prog rock band, you know, progressive band, or what back 30 years ago was a, you know, art rock band or orchestral rock. You know, how can you keep Yes out?
I
mean, it astonishes me.
Yeah.
They've completely excluded whole genres. So with metal, though, I with the barrier being broken down, I think that's quite significant. And I would not put Black Sabbath on the second tier like some of these other bands.
Yeah.
You know, Lynyrd Skynyrd, they're a real good band. They were around a long time. They had some great songs. They had several great albums. They have endured, you know, they had the terrible plane crash many, many, many years ago. They've reformed several times since and kind of kept plugging away and kept putting out material. Some of it, not, you know, not bad. But but they're certainly not the classic quintessential Southern rock band.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say without question that's the Allman Brothers. Well, the Allman Brothers are already in, so you know, who do you go to next? Okay, all right, now we'll let Skinner in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the way this is going. And,
yeah.
and Blondie, kind of same thing. Really
yeah.
good, a couple great albums. I loved them. I saw them several times, actually, always. Had a crush on Debbie Harry for years.
Oh, absolutely. I remember a couple times she was on Saturday Night Live, and my right hand was at work there on the...
she was a
hot.
Former Playboy bunny.
Absolutely,
you know?
That's what I meant. Absolutely, she was
unbelievable. And a real rock and roller. You know, in some
oh.
ways, she doesn't get enough credit.
Oh,
you know, here she was fronting a real rock and roll band.
Yes.
And you know, she was part of the songwriting team, and
yeah.
she was, you know. She gets compared a fair amount to Madonna, but
absolutely.
But you know, but she's different in that she
yeah.
was all, they were always a band. It
yeah.
wasn't just Debbie and the
standout.
Boys. It was a real rock band, and they had, you know, several great albums. I
You're
think
right.
Parallel Lines is certainly a classic of the '80s, and they had, you know, certainly a full greatest hits album worth of really great songs. But again, they're probably not in the very front line.
No.
Of new wave, you know,
yeah.
type bands, and we said the same thing about Skinner and Miles Davis, of course. He's in as an influence,
yes.
And I mean, his connection to rock and roll is there in that he was one of the founders of fusion back in the late '60s, or mid '60s for that matter. And he really got deeply into a real noisy, heavy. He took a bunch of great jazz-oriented players and just souped them up and gave them amplifiers and fuzzed them out, and they created music that certainly could be called rock, although it certainly had the jazz improv elements. But still, his connection to rock is you know, that of an influence as opposed to jazz, whereas you can't even envision jazz history without him. He's one of the great jazz trumpeters and band leaders of all time, certainly
yeah.
top 10, maybe top 5. So in a sense, they're you know, the connection is relatively tenuous there, and he's
yeah.
just in as an influence as opposed to a full, you know, rock and roll member.
Yeah, how about we gotta move on. We're kind of
we burned time.
What,
I blabbed.
That's
man.
Okay. What about Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire? There blew up the box office, huh?
Boy, it's really doing terrifically, and unlike the third one, which I think is still my favorite, Prisoner of Azkaban, this one really seems to have legs, and it's over $400 million now worldwide,
wow.
and about half of that is U.S., and it has led just by far at the box office the last 2 weekends.
It's got a darker theme and everything else to it. You know what? I have not seen a single Harry Potter movie. I'm sorry.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I have not
seen
it.
It's almost un-American, or at least un-British. You know?
You know what? I have not seen a single Lord of the Rings movie either.
Oh, my Lord.
I know. Give me the Enterprise, or I like the Star Trek movies, or, you know, but, or Star, actually, I didn't see the third Star Wars movie either.
Have you read either any of the Harry Potters or the Lord of the Rings?
No, absolutely not. No, Lord of the Rings, yes, but Harry Potter, no. I always felt that Harry Potter was like a ripoff of Lord of the Rings.
Well, she certainly, the author, J.K. Rowling,
yeah.
certainly freely admits that she borrowed a lot of
absolutely.
Her.
Absolutely.
Not so much, well, somewhat the storyline, but more just her general
setting.
Milieu, you
yeah.
know, the world that she creates.
Absolutely.
Certainly comes from Lord of the Rings. But on the other hand, Lord of the Rings comes from a variety of, you know, mythological sources that go back hundreds and hundreds of years as well. I mean, it's really hard to come up with something that's literally unique and fresh, because,
well,
you know, everyone borrows.
You got Narnia coming out, this week, right?
Yeah.
Narnia?
Oh, yeah, it's a big, this season, this holiday.
Narnia is going to be a huge movie, right? And then you got Syriana coming out. Now, Syriana, that's what I want to say. That's supposed to be an outstanding movie.
That is getting very, very good advance reviews, and, you know, taking on quite serious themes. It's slightly surprising that it would be coming out this time of year. But on the other hand, there's always those that come out because they want to
Oscars.
Qualify for the Oscars,
yeah.
of course. And but yeah, I back to the Potter, just because I did happen to see it, and with two little kids, I don't get out to see that many movies. You know, we get the DVDs and we watch cable here, and you know, if it's not a movie that a kid wants to see, I typically typically don't get out to see it in the theater.
So how
the
kids?
Because it was the Thanksgiving weekend.
You went to see it. How did the kids react to it? Because this is a darker.
Well, I did. We took
my
6-year-old and daughter and my 10-year-old niece, and they definitely had to close their eyes a few times. It gets real intense, especially in the big. I don't want to reveal too much, but in the big scene where Voldemort, who is his Harry Potter's mortal enemy, finally comes back to life. You know, this has been going on now for 3 movies or 3 books, if you look at it that way, where he's been, you know, all these machinations to try to bring the evil Dark Lord Voldemort back to full physical fruition. And it finally happens at the end of this one. And that's a real intense scene in a graveyard.
Really?
Oh yeah, and the kid gets killed. I mean, it's a big deal. There's a lot going on, and he himself physically. By the way, he's played by the great British actor Ralph Fiennes. Although it's really hard to recognize him under the makeup, but he's basically a skeleton head, and he's very frightening.
Really?
So yeah, it's real intense. Plus, the whole thing is much more grown up now because the kids in the movie. You know, this is their 4th year, and they're in their mid-teens. So you have all this teen angst going on and the relationships that are budding, and they have to go to a dance in the middle of a movie, a ball, and you know, it's just really awkward, and that part probably rings real true.
Right. How many more?
Plenty of teens.
How many more of these movies can they squeeze out of this franchise? What, they're on their 4th movie? I mean, how many more you know, books does she have in her?
Well, there's 6 books out now.
Really?
The 6th book came out this summer and sold best of all. What's remarkable about the series, both the books and the movies, is they just seem to keep getting stronger, you know.
Huh.
I mean, there's just almost any series, although you didn't see that with Lord of the Rings either. The third one ended up being the biggest. But, you know, but they were pretty similar, the three. And really, I think you're supposed to look at them as a trilogy. I do, anyway. A 12-hour trilogy.
Yeah, I mean.
Kind of amazing. But anyway, yeah, they just keep getting stronger and stronger as far as sales and interest and awareness, and just one after the other comes along. And this film is the biggest one, you know, at this point in the release so far. It's running ahead of the other three. And the 6th book was the biggest seller, which came out in the summer. Supposedly, it's a 7-book series.
You're
so
kidding.
Then it would be also, of course.
Seven movies. Well, wait a minute. That would put it on par with Star Wars then, huh?
Oh, yeah. And it's you know, it's supposed to be one overarching story. So, you know, in essence, you're getting 7 parts of the same story. I've heard rumors, though, that it's possible that she will extend it to an 8th book. You know, I don't know. There's so much money at stake, but on the other hand, she has so much money now. She's like the richest woman in the UK. She's a billionaire.
Yeah, they say she's got more money than the Queen of England.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And she's still, I mean, for all of that, she is, I've seen her quite a few times, you know, being interviewed or speaking and that sort of thing. And they made a big deal out of, when this latest book was released, she did a reading that night. From the book at midnight, because, you know, that's when they go on sale each time. It's midnight, and they go on sale all over the world. And she did a reading from, Edinburgh Castle in Scotland.
Does she own the castle? No.
Edinburgh in Scotland. But, you know, she really is quite charming, and she's relatively unpretentious. You know, she was this sort of welfare mother, single mother, while she was writing the book, the 1st book, and she's retained a certain, you know, charm. She's not regal at all.
You know,
she's not pretentious. She really is down to earth. So, I mean, I think she's likable in that regard. And my goodness, you know, she's really, really done just an amazing thing to sustain this series. It wasn't just, you know, 1 book, it's the whole series.
Yeah, well, not only that, but she's gotten kids to read books, which is good. I mean, between her, you know, all her books have gotten more people to read. You know, I remember driving by the bookstore here in Vegas, they're all lined up outside the store to buy that damn book. And it's like, I'm like, that's, you know, I think, well, that's crazy. And everywhere it's like, that's great. These kids are reading, you know. I mean, it helps these kids read, you know. Even
absolutely
though it's
right.
It's Harry Potter.
I agree with you entirely.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of writers and a lot of the more a lot of authors and a lot of your more snooty critics say, you know, they poo-poo her and they put it down. But my goodness, you know, anything that drives up the interest, you know, like you're saying, I think you're exactly right. It generates interest in reading itself. It makes reading cool. It makes it fun. And I think it only helps, book selling and reading in general.
Yeah.
It's a lot like movies, or I mean, it's any form of popular culture. You have to have the huge hits in order to sustain, you know, your more arty projects. Exact same thing with movies. Same with the music industry, although that's somewhat changing over the last few years with the internet and digital music and whatnot. And I mean, the internet is certainly changing the models, but it still, most of your pop culture industry is built around enormous hits, and everything else just kind of breaks even or loses money.
Yeah, absolutely. And then before you let go, you want to talk about Michael Jackson? He's about this. He slammed the Jews, right?
Well, what happened was he's being sued by one of his vast army of former associates, and what this guy did, he was smart, if devious, and he recorded his phone calls with Michael Jackson.
Ah.
So here's a phone call from 2 years ago where Michael Jackson is blaming the Jews, for problems in the music business. And it's really the stereotypical silly nonsense of, you know, the Jews ruled the world, and you know, I mean, it's just cartoonish stuff, and it's kind of amazing to hear it coming from someone who's, you know, supposedly relatively sophisticated and worldly and whatnot. But but here it is, you know, it's a recording from 2 years ago, and the Anti-Defamation League is after him, of course, as a result of it. Apparently, I just was poking around now. I'm going to write something about tomorrow. Apparently, someone's found some recording where he's putting down Italians.
Oh, my
God. So the headline is, you know, he hates everyone. But
unbelievable.
But he loves his Arab pals in Bahrain, where he has moved, because why? Well, because he's worshipped there,
and
he can do whatever he wants in this tiny little authoritative country
where he's the
prince, you know?
Yeah, and they're putting him up in his castle and everything. So, I mean, it's enraging, you know? But
it's an astonishing story, you know? I mean, if you follow his life, I mean, my goodness, you know, on the one hand, you can sympathize with what he went
through.
I have no sympathy
for him.
But, I mean, hey, that was 35
absolutely.
Years ago.
Take responsibility for your life, for crying out loud. Well, Eric, we got to let you go. We're at the end of our segment. All right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, you are allowed to let me go.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Eric. We thank you for being on the program.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And that was Eric Olson from blogcritics.org with our very first pop culture report. I thought that went very well. I kind of glazed over about the rock and roll bit because I don't know who the hell any of these people are besides Blondie. But, Sex Pistols, I thought something to do with sex. That's the reason why I want to bring it up. Now, ask me about the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and I can answer some questions for you. But it comes to this stuff, no way. Harry Potter, I for some reason, I just do not want to see the Harry Potter movies. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. Lord of the Rings, I haven't seen them yet. I'm sorry, I don't know why. I like the sci-fi, the Star Treks and all that, and the political thrillers here. So, like Syriana, that's supposed to be a good movie with Matt Damon and George Clooney. So that's supposed to be good about oil and the politics and oil and everything. So that should be good. And so let's hope so. And but you know, it's a movie business. You know, everybody was crying how the economy is so bad. But how can it be so bad if the Harry Potter movie broke all records? You know, it's amazing. You know, and then we have the all the stuff that they're selling, the books and all that with Harry Potter, and they're all having parties and all that. You know, I don't know. I mean, on one hand, you see the economy going bad with the gas, and then the other time you see them while they're spending money and all this stuff, so it can't be that bad. So I don't know. To me, it just it's double edged. You know, is the economy going down the drain or isn't? We're paying, you know, the gas down here is $2.29 a gallon. You know, so people they say, oh, people are not going to have the discretionary income to spend money on Christmas gifts. Yet you hear the stores had a 22% increase over sales from a year ago. So what is it? You know, I don't know. People are just putting it all in their plastic, and you know, then they're going to go belly up after their first year. That's probably what's going to happen. So I don't know. And I think our next guest is on the line. Is that correct? Gonna have a little music intro, okay. And so I see Goof is in the chat room. Welcome to the chat room, Goof. And Diggs is in. Oh, we've been royalty is in the chat room. Jimmy Diggs. Oh, there we go. And we are joined by Trapper of the BattlestarBlog.com. Trapper, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Ah, there you go. A little intro music for you there, the old classic Galactica theme there.
Excellent.
Yes. So welcome to the program, and I appreciate you pitching in for Judy from the Science Fiction Buzz.com. She had a little family emergency, and she couldn't join us. But this is now, how do you say your last name?
Markel's.
He's the blogger behind the unofficial Battlestar Galactica blog called BattlestarBlog.com. And first of all, tell everybody out there a little bit about your blog for those who aren't familiar with it.
Well, when I had originally watched the show for Battlestar, it was really kind of the first show I'd seen in a long time that really inspired me to get involved with the community, with the fan community. So, just did a couple of little domain queries, and Battlestar Blog seemed to work, so I threw it up there and just decided to have a place to kind of put, you know, as I myself kept involved and up to date with what was going on with the show and with the community as a whole, I figured I could just post those links for other people. So that's kind of just my strategy. I just post the things that I'm interested in or that I like finding and reading about and writing about, and then hopefully other people find it interesting too. So.
Absolutely, and I'm on your blog right now, and you're listing the gifts for your Battlestar Galactica fan and the family for Christmas. The first one, you have the obligatory ones, the DVD season one, right?
Yeah.
And which is out here, I spent, it's $49 out here in Vegas at the Walmart.
The first season is?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's about the same thing on Amazon. I think it's Amazon. Like $44.99 or something.
There you go. And then you have the Battlestar Galactica DVD Season 2 Part 1. When's that coming out?
That's supposed to come out here, let me see, I think it was released sometime in December.
Ah.
And it is like right before Christmas.
Very good. And I see the link on your blog to the Amazon.com, and the cover is going to have Adama on there with Six and Boomer, it looks like, in the background.
Yeah, yep. I don't know. I'm still, like, I don't know if you'd read my post earlier. I mean, I'm still kind of up in the air about the whole multi-part releasing of the episodes. I mean, I've already kind of talked to some friends who have been a little bit confused by the whole multi-part release. But, you know, I think it's a good step. I mean, getting the episodes out there so that people can see them as fast as possible. I know there's been a lot of talk kind of some of the networks offering up some of these shows for, you know, pay on demand. I think that's another pretty good step in the right direction, but I don't know. It still is kind of confusing for some people to be kind of, you know, well, is this all of season two? Is season two done? Is what's in January? Is that season three? I mean, I know myself as running this blog, I've kind of fielded a lot of emails from people trying to help explain exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Because you know what? Because you know, then at the end of season two, they'll give us another DVD with the last 10, and then they'll come out with one with all 20 episodes on there. That's what they'll do.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's expected. It's their prerogative. I mean, how many Matrix sets possibly came out of, you know, of all the different ways they released those DVDs? So I think, you know, they're allowed to make money off the show for sure. I just get concerned as a fan when it's confusing for the consumers to actually understand what they're buying and not being able to, you know, buy the right thing. The same thing happened when they released season one. They released the UK version at Best Buy only or something. So some people bought that, and then they released the actual US version later, which had, you know, all the extras. So, you know, I had, again, people were confused, you know, emailing me about the different DVDs they bought and which one was which. And
oh, people were crazy because I don't know if you heard the program. I had Katie Sackhoff on, and she said she was in a Best Buy in L.A., and then she was in there, and she saw somebody, some guy at the DVD stand picking up the British UK version, and she walked over and said, no, you don't want that one. You want to wait till the U.S. version comes out. So even the cast knows, you know, what's good and what's bad, you know?
Yeah, so I don't know. They're making some interesting decisions there, yeah. But...
Now, here's something I didn't know. You said, remember the BSG trading cards. And did they have trading cards for the show? I don't remember those.
Yeah, they released,
really?
Those, they released those quite a while back. You can pretty much pick them up online, and they come with some limited edition archive or autographed sets, some costume cards.
Really?
Pretty now, extensive.
This from the...
You can get them on eBay. You can get them, you know, via the links that I have up there that I just kind of found through some sites online.
Huh.
But
now is that the current Galactica series trading cards, or is that the old show?
Oh yeah, they're current. It's
oh really?
The current cast.
Oh, man, how come I didn't know about this?
Yeah, I mean, then I also have a link up there. You can get a binder, a themed binder to keep them all in and everything.
Huh.
So.
And then you said also a BSG autograph. Now, where are you getting those at? Where do you get the autographs from?
Well, the autographs you can pretty much find anywhere. I mean, there's a ton of them online on eBay. The one that I link to is a site called GoAntiques.com that has a pretty good selection of various, you know, autographs from Trisha and... Mary McDonnell and Grace Park and everything. That can get you started, but I mean eBay definitely. I mean, I say at the bottom of the post about the gifts. I mean, if you're looking for something unique, you know, when in doubt, just, you know, go on eBay, type in Battlestar Galactica, and you know, there's, you know, over 1,000 plus items there of various things that you can get, both old series and new series. For the fan in your life.
Yeah, well, I read somewhere that they're actually auctioning off some of the old models from the Classic series as well. I didn't know. Anyway, those still existed.
Yeah, I haven't really come across any of the old series models. I've seen a couple of people posting some photos in Flickr and stuff like that on some of the feeds that I monitor of some of the Battlestar the models and things like that.
And then you have a post on here from PeterDavid.net that he's actually going to be writing a Battlestar Galactica novel.
Yeah.
Right. What time frame is this novel going to take place in? And is it going to be alongside the series as it's airing, or is it being a separate timeline?
You know, I really haven't seen much more information on it. I emailed him. I left a comment in his area there saying, you know, if he has any information, I'd love to chat with him about it.
Yeah.
But I haven't really seen anything followed up.
Well, on your blog, BattlestarBlog.com, it says that I guess he wanted to write about two story elements, but the Ron Moore and them nixed it because it's stuff they're planning on doing in season 3.
Yeah, so. It was a little interesting piece he put in there. I mean, he said that he'd submitted a bunch of different drafts in his post there, and that a couple of them were nixed because it sounds like stuff that's going to be explored already. So, I know, interesting stuff. I mean, it doesn't really... say anything, doesn't really give anything away, and he didn't really elaborate on what was actually in there, but yeah, I don't know, it sounds like from what he says there, it sounds like they have a good idea of where they're headed for season 3 already.
Oh, absolutely, and then I read somewhere, I don't know if it was on your blog or somewhere else, that Dean Stockwell from, Quantum Leap is going to be on the season finale, I guess, playing some role on there, huh?
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean, I know, I have a pretty strict policy that I don't read any spoilers.
Ah, sorry.
At all. I mean, I don't really consider that a spoiler, but I was taken to task when I posted about the casting of Admiral Kane on my blog without saying that it was a spoiler. So, I've slipped up a couple of times and posted some things, but I try and keep myself out of it just because, you know, as a fan of the show, I like to be surprised. I like to be kind of wowed going into every episode, not really knowing what's going to be covered, what's going to be in there.
That's true. But you know what? You'd be surprised. A lot of people who said, oh, they're not listening to my program anymore because of the spoilers, they're in there every week looking for something else. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, now, actually, you also on your blog have the link to Amazon with the companion. Now, I've not found the companion out here in Vegas yet. Have you found a companion out by you?
You know, I haven't, no.
No.
I didn't buy it online. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, I'm a huge fan of the show, but when it comes to, you know, actual purchasing of the DVDs and the products and everything, you know, I'm not really, I'm not the hardest core fan on the planet.
No, well,
when it comes to those types of things.
No, I'm not going to buy all this stuff. The DVDs from the series I'll buy, and if they have a blow up doll that looks like a six, I'll buy that. You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm surprised they haven't come up with something like that yet. You know? Blow up doll like six, but no. Like the music's great, so I'll buy the music CDs when they come out. But I mean, other than that, you know.
Yeah, I've always been a pretty big film score fan.
Yeah.
So I've definitely picked up all of the.
But
the
definitely.
CDs that have been released.
Yeah, but the novels. I'm sorry, I'm not going to buy it because you know too much going on. I need to watch the show. You know, I mean, unless they make the novel into a movie, then I'll go back and watch it. You know.
Yeah, I mean, a part of me wishes I'd pick them up just so I could.
Collector's items.
And kind of go through them a little bit, but I mean, there's quite a bit of news out there all the time to definitely keep me busy otherwise with this and the other things. So.
And also, you have on here from the Tomo Pennicut blog that sci-fi.com has posted 30 deleted scenes. We haven't seen any the deleted scenes all season.
No, they just kind of posted them in one gigantic.
Wow.
Big old dump there.
Are they good scenes? I mean, anything that kind of like, well, this should have been in. You know, have you seen them all yet? Or?
You know, actually, I'm up. I watched all of them through season five.
Really?
Episode five of season two. So I haven't watched them all. Honestly, I mean, from what I've seen so far, it's kind of good that this stuff's been cut.
Yeah.
You know, I think Ron Moore and some of his podcasts discussed a lot of the reshoots they did for the first episode of the second season, and how a lot of the material just didn't seem to work, and I kind of agree because that's what a lot of the deleted scenes cover, in the first and the second episodes of season two. I kind of agree. I didn't think that it really was up to the same quality. I mean, some of it you could tell wasn't production finished.
Yeah.
But the whole it just wasn't believable, and Ron Moore kind of iterated that too in the podcast. It's like you didn't look at them and you didn't believe that they were as young as they're supposed to be, and I think it was good. I mean, there was some good stuff where they trade some war stories. Mm. That was some great texture. Mm. Although, you know, even within that, there's a pivotal moment in episode two where, you know, Ty makes the call and says, you know, they're going for aft damage control. Or he seems to be the man in charge. He seems to have the knowledge, and you respect him in that instant.
Really?
You really kind of connect with him and say, okay, he's the man in charge. He knows what's going on. He knows how these Cylons think. He's directing the crew. He's saving the day. But you find out from the deleted scenes that it's actually a conversation that he has with Adama, where Adama tells him the strategies of the Cylons.
Hmm.
And so it's actually Adama's strategy that Ty's really just carrying out.
Huh.
And to me, watching that deleted scene, it kind of weakens the character, you know? And I think Ty's such a flawed guy.
Yeah.
And there's so few moments for redemption for him that when I watched that episode, I really felt that was a great moment of redemption for him.
Hmm.
And now to watch this deleted scene and see that he was really only borrowing
from Adama.
You know, what Adama told him. You know, I didn't really think that was the best character choice. But.
And also you have on there about Trisha Helfer who plays Six. She's going to be hosting the Canada's Next Top Model. So she's going to be hosting that. That's an odd choice, you know?
Yeah. She has if you go in and read that article, she has a lot of explanations as to why she's doing it kind of inspire people. And I think she's kind of seen it as her way of giving back. So that's good for her.
Yeah, and then we have the second season's starting to air in the UK right now on Sky One, right?
Yeah, I believe I posted something from Chris Howe over at the Great Link, had some news about it starting.
January 10th.
Actually premieres January 10th, I believe.
Correct. Now, and then the UK, from what I understand, they're going to air all 20 episodes in a row, whereas we're stuck with getting the split season, so they're going to air all 20 straight from what I understand over in the UK.
Yeah, I haven't kept up with exactly what they're planning there.
And then now this the tech blog. Now they're going to come out with these tech manuals. I mean, would you go out and buy like these tech manuals, tell them about the engines and all that stuff? You know, I don't care about that.
Yeah, you know, I'm a huge Star Trek fan, and I never really got into that. I ended I went to a convention one time, and I actually did end up buying something that was related to tech blueprints or manuals or something like that. And, you know, it's fun for a little while, and then it just kind of loses it. I mean, at the end of the day, it is science fiction.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I think you can only go so far with it. But it is interesting, and I think to a lot of people it does have appeal, so I can respect that.
And then you also have a post on about the first episode in January is so big that the producers are going to divide it into a two-parter. So
yeah, there was actually some good comments, too. I mean, I didn't really follow why they were going along and supersizing the episode, and it turns out that they're actually cutting an episode that was supposed to be from a Cylon's point of view.
Oh, man, so, I was looking forward to that one. Why are they canceling that one? I thought that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Justine from the Tom O'Pennicott blog posted a great comment. She kind of filled it in saying that they, you know, because I was thinking, well, maybe they're going to add another, maybe it'll be 21 episodes instead of 20, but it sounds like they had to go back and shoot extra material to actually take it away from that. So I think Hollywood North Report, there's a link in the comments to Hollywood North Report, I believe had an article about it with some comments from Ron Moore about it, where he just kind of talks about how he was just really kind of dissatisfied with the whole episode and anger that he allowed it to go on as long as he did.
Really?
And so they kind of had to go back and redo it, which sounds very similar to what they were doing for kind of what happened in episode one of season two. You know, they kind of just let the concept get away from them, and then they kind of had to go back and reexamine what they were doing there. So
That's interesting. Because now, do we know? Well, so you're not into spoilers, but I was wondering, do we know if Kane's going to hang around for both parts of this two-parter? Huh?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't kept up with it, so yeah. I don't exactly know. I mean, I read a lot of feeds on Battlestar every single day, so sometimes as I'm scanning them, something will catch my eye, something about someone doing something in some episode. So, you know, I don't want to really speak to what I know about what I know, but yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're really kind of beefing that episode up to really carry a lot of drama and hopefully get us back into the character stories. So.
Well, yeah, and then I don't know if you saw the USA Today, but last week ago Friday, they did the whole article about the show's been renewed for the third season, and then the finale didn't give anything away. All they said is that when they pitched the network their idea for the finale, they said the network did a double take. I guess something is going to be some kind of colossal finale for the season two.
Well, I mean, they have their work cut out for them to top the season finale of season one, so...
Yeah, well, maybe this time they'll shoot Ty this time. They shot Adama the first...
Yeah, I know. Everyone's been shot at some point here. Who hasn't been shot on that show?
Yeah. Well, I thought they would have, like, a murder mystery on there. I thought Ty would have bit the dust halfway through, and they have a big, you know, who killed Ty, like, who shot JR type of thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they tried a murder mystery with the whole Colonial Day thing, I think, with Helen.
That didn't work very well. It didn't seem like it.
No, they never really went back to that.
Yeah, you can't forget about that episode completely, you know? That's one episode you don't hear anybody talking about. It's Colonial Day. They kind of like, whoop, what happened to that show, you know?
No, that was a great episode, I think. It's just one of those things where it was a little more political, but it had some good speeches. It had some good intrigue in it, I think. I mean, I don't know. I've kind of posted about this a little bit on some of my reviews and some of my recap of... I had a post where I kind of recapped my favorite episodes of season two. And, you know, I think... I'm really looking forward to them maybe getting back to a little bit more character-driven type storylines, because I think... I don't know, they've kind of been bringing in so many external sources. It kind of reminds me, I don't know if you watch the show Lost at all.
Once in a while, yes.
But I mean, because if you kind of look at the first season of Lost and the second season of Lost, it's very similar. Because you kind of had the first season was all self-contained within the cast that was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And you spent a lot of the time with the character development and the conflict within that self-contained cast of characters as they interact with external events.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, in season two, we kind of keep bringing in all these new people, you know, and all these new situations and new elements. And so it's no longer really the characters interacting with themselves, but they're now interacting with all these new people.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
true.
All these new people, though, you know, if you introduce someone like Anders, you know, who is Kara's love interest, it's like you bring someone like that in, you don't really have a connection to them. Your only connection is a tenuous connection between Kara, you know, that you're getting through Kara to him. And so you don't really care about this guy that much. And so that character interaction that takes place just isn't very meaningful. But when Lee and Kara are interacting together, it's just much stronger, and it seems so much more richer. And
that's true.
And so the whole season two, you know, in my opinion, just seems to kind of be missing that, because there's so many external things going on and so many people coming at from the outside.
Well, they've added so many, you know, there's been a lot more action in the second season than the first season. And you're right, they brought on all these guest stars. You know, you had Xena was on, and Ro from Star Trek, you know, and all these other people. So, it's, you know, like Lost. Lost is turning like the Love Boat, right? You turn around, there's somebody else showing up. I'm looking for when does Charles show up on Galactica? Is she showing up to sing on the show? No?
No.
No Charo on Battlestar Galactica?
You know, I don't know. Who knows what they're going to do next. It could go anywhere.
Yeah, and then also you have about Hollywood North visiting the set of Galactica. My invitation must have got lost in the mail. You know, I think they would have invited me up there, because, you know, I'm the only show that's devoted time to the series, and you think they would invite me up to the set. But yeah, you would think. Maybe they're mad because I spoiled all their storylines, but oh, well, you know. But you said that the Hollywood North was up on the set in between the filming of the two-hour finale. So now the finale is going to be 2 hours, then, huh?
Yeah, I actually haven't seen that bit of news.
Yeah, it's on your blog. Yeah, H&R visits the set, and then I went on there, and I said they visited the CIC, and they went through Adama's quarters and everything. So that'd be pretty nice, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great to get up there and poke around, meet some people.
Absolutely. I'd love to go up there. And they said the set, you know, the set is huge. Aaron Douglas says that, you know, when they first started it, they all used to get lost up there. And Mary McDonnell, I saw an interview with her, she got lost. She kept going around circles on that set because it's so big up there.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen of some of the footage and stuff, yeah, it looks like they do a fairly expansive job making it feel like it needs to feel. So it's a lot of soundstage up there they're doing that with. So
absolutely.
But it deserves it. I mean, it's the flagship of the channel. So
yeah. Well, you also had on here about the ratings. How it was the number one? Where am I here? Let me see. The highest ratings in sci-fi history. What am I say here? And also you have on BSG is going to be on demand on DirecTV.
Yeah, that's what I was essentially talking about earlier. Is that some of these networks are starting to take. NBC Universal is taking a lot of their stuff through DirecTV and saying that they're going to be charging, you know, per episode. And unfortunately, I don't have DirecTV. I have Dish Network, so I can't partake in the festivities. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to see them just go direct off their site. I mean, they made a big deal of streaming the
episode one.
Yeah, of streaming episode one and get people involved. And I believe didn't they stream the finale too?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so I mean, they've done it before, and you know, and I understand they got to sell DVDs. I mean, you got to protect your distribution channels, and it's a business.
They got to sell the DVDs. They want people to come back and watch the reruns and all that. You know, I wish they kind of podcast the episodes, but I mean, they have a takeaway from them as well. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, how many possible distribution channels do you need, and which ones can you monetize effectively? And you know, I think that there would be a market for direct download. I mean, they're doing 99 cents through DirecTV. I mean, I don't know. You know, if I had to pick a price range for myself, you know, I'd pay up to $3, $4 for a show if I missed it or didn't happen to. You know, as a fallback. I mean, what's your fallback right now? If you miss the show, or if your TiVo breaks, or your DVR messes up, or some show runs long and cuts, you know, messes up your schedule, your only option is to go online and find it somewhere.
True.
Otherwise, you're done until the DVD's released. And I don't know. I mean, in this day and age with technology, what it is, I just can't see that being, you know, being the solution that they can provide.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a consumer. I want to pay you to consume your content. I mean, allow me to.
Yeah. Well, then here is that you have the trifecta, as reported by the Futon critic, about the Galactica as part of the Sci-Fi Channel's Troika of Hit Dramas, blah, blah, blah. The number one destination for 18 to 49 and 25 to 54 on Friday nights, and also it's its highest rated series in Sci-Fi Channel history, so that's always pretty good to hear. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise that they announced the Season 3 renewal before they did. It's a no-brainer for them. It's good to see. I mean, it's good
absolutely.
To see the show's getting the respect it deserves and that it's getting the coverage that it deserves. I mean, it's a great show. So.
Once again, Trapper, before we let you go, what's the one thing people should give their Battlestar Galactica fan for Christmas? If you had to pick one thing out there, what would you suggest?
if you could pick one thing.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think
besides Trisha Helfer or Katie Sackhoff. We're running out of time. Quick.
I would think the one thing that you get, I think everybody needs a Beretta Storm, just like they have on the show.
Very good. Trevor, we thank you for being on the program.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
You're welcome. And that was Trevor Markels from the BattlestarBlog.com with tips on your Christmas buying season for your Battlestar Galactica fan and the family. And we thank everybody for listening to the program, for listening live. Thank you. And also, if you're listening via the podcast, thank you very much. Tell your friends. Oh, okay. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, just tell someone. The email is subject to number 2, discussion at lvrocks.com. The website is subject2discussion.com. And next week, we hope we'll have the cast of regulars back. I liked it. I had a good feel of the program. We had the news and the politics, and we had the pop culture thing. Eric Olson is a little long-winded, but it's all right. And then, the Galactica bit at the end. But originally, it's going to be news and comment first, followed by the political discussion with Justin from the Dunkelfin blog. And then starting the second hour, it'll be the pop culture report with somebody from blogcritics.org. And then finishing up, it'll be the sci-fi report with Science Fiction Buzz. Or the Cylons. Yeah, actually, we got Muffet in there somewhere, too. I'm going to bring Muffet back for a Christmas edition. Anyway, up next is, Sounds of Sin is next. And tomorrow.